with it. Praise report real quick for those of you that knew that I didn't know whether I was going to retire January 1st or September 1st. We got the money for our contract to go on through September 1st, so I'll be able to retire when I really believe that the Lord wanted me to retire. So, amen. I mean that, yeah. I was at work at almost 5 o'clock Friday evening when I got the word. So that was very good. I praise God for that. Secondly, Jeannie is doing good. She's just a little self-conscious. Her face is really black and blue all over. Eyes, nose, lip, chin, forehead. So she still feels bad. I mean, her arms still hurt. She can't write because her opposable thumb will not hold the pen so that she can write. It's still, there's just a lot of pain. But otherwise, she's doing okay. Just pray that she'll know that only little babies will look at her and say anything in public. So she won't mind going out in public. As we do here, Brother Richard always allows a variety of messages during the Christmas season. And I have one for you this morning that I hope you will get out of it what I have gotten out of it the last couple of weeks in coming to what I'm going to deliver to you today. I titled the message, let's see what I titled it, Heaven and Earth's Anticipation or Expectation. Heaven and Earth's. And I believe that God has helped me realize a couple of things coming into this season, because the Christmas season is exactly what everybody hopes it will be. But what you will make of it is totally up to you. And what you do with this time of the year, listen, kids understand the excitement. Now, why do they understand the excitement? Huh? Because of presents. Presents under the tree. And they're so excited, and man, you ask them, what do you want? And I'm telling you, from the time that the lights start going up, and they know in their little heads that Christmas is coming, and that means presents, and that means sometimes, a lot of times, getting to go somewhere and do something, they are excited. Now let me ask you, what are you? What are you? Are you bah humbug? You know. Or can you get excited about the fact that God gave us the greatest present He could give us? And we get it every year. We get it continually, but we get it every year. Look, from the days of the fall, I want to talk a little bit about the angels this morning. Do you know that the angels are excited about you? Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, brother, they are. They are. They gave up the Son of God. Now, you got to remember this in context now. They gave up the Son of God to come to the earth to be born as an infant. And by the way, let me say something to you. If you don't understand this, this is a real thin line, so you're going to have to listen to me. When Jesus came to this earth, He did not know everything. He did not know everything. And how do I know that? The Word says it. He didn't know when He was coming back. Now, if Jesus doesn't know everything, guess what? The angels don't know everything. Because Lucifer does not know everything, and he was one of the main angels that God had. The angels know only what they've been allowed to see. And they knew that Jesus was coming down. They were sad on the day of the fall. I can hear weeping. Because you know what? The angels understood that God created this place for you and me. For man. Do you know we were supposed to live here for eternity? Do you know that? There was no design in there for sin to come in and destroy this world like it has. When God created earth and he created man and you and me, the angels saw how much he loved man that they got excited too. And when the fall came, they were downtrodden also. Now, I know I'm taking a little liberty here, okay? But I'm assuming some things, and that's okay. You can assume what you want to assume. But they were hurt, just like you and I hurt when our kids downfall, okay? When our kids... And let me say this, I'm talking more about adult kids here, because adult kids know. Kids, I'm sorry guys, you do not know yet. Now you're an adult, but you do not know yet. When God gives you the wisdom, for you to begin learning how to lead your life, then you know where the falls are, and it crushes you when your children fall. And I know that the angels were so disappointed. Disappointed in us? No. Disappointed for God, because he loved us so much. And you know what? When they found out that he was sending a Savior here, my Lord, we already know how excited they got. We stand around and sing, "Hark the herald angels sing." I won't go any further because I've destroyed it enough. My Lord, I mean, there was a heavenly host proclaiming to mankind that Jesus was here. They were truly, truly, truly excited about Jesus. And why? Why were they excited? That's exactly right. They knew that Jesus had come to provide life to all of us. There was a way back to God now that did not depend upon us, but depended upon our acceptance of a person. We didn't have to keep the law. We don't have to keep the law. You know, people who, and you're going to have to make up your own mind on what I'm saying here now, okay? People who tell me they do something because it's in the Old Testament, and they do it because they, quote unquote, have to do it because it's in the Old Testament, do not understand freedom from the law. And I will guarantee you they do not follow everything in the Old Testament that was the law. They do not. However, in my life, I try. Now, I don't succeed, but I try to follow everything that's in the New Testament. Coupled with what I learn in the Old Testament. Those angels were so excited that Jesus was here and that I had a way to get to God. Amen. That it didn't depend on mankind anymore to do the right thing. And I can believe that every year they still have that birthday party. I believe that they do. I wrote down here, cried at the fall of man, and I believe that. They rejoiced at the prophecies because I think that's how they learned through time that Jesus was coming. Where does the prophecy about Jesus coming start? Genesis. Yeah. Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 3. I'll get it. From Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of Revelation and his second coming. Okay? There is prophecy about Jesus. Look what it says in 3:15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, or that means he's going to put strife, okay? And he's going to put war, basically, between you. He's talking to the serpent and the woman. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. In other words, Satan will be able to nip at our heel, but we're going to stomp on his head. Now, I went to the... this verse has bothered me a long time because the same word, I didn't know until last night, the same word is used for bruise both times. However, there must be some kind of difference because there's a different ending to each word. So there's a different tense there. Well, I couldn't figure it out. Don't need to figure it out. I just know that one's worse than the other. One's worse than the other. Man, he can nip at my heels all he wants. He won't kill me. He can't kill me. He cannot stop me from doing the will of God. Since the moment of Jesus' birth and man's ability to accept him for who he is, when he went to that cross and he paid the ultimate price, because Jesus never, ever, ever, ever sinned. Ever did he sin. Okay? He went to that cross because he could fulfill the law. And he died on the cross. And man, there was rejoicing in heaven. You got to understand, the angels even are on our side. They are. Look over in... let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter... Let's go to chapter 7. Very well-known scripture that Herod came to understand. It's chapter 53. Look at this in chapter 7, verse 14. How many years is this before Jesus was born? 600. 600, yeah, I think that's about what it is. Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is how you will know that it is the Messiah. Okay? Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Holy smokes. You know what the angels did? They went, oh, wow, we got something else to look for now for when it happens. And then you go to Matthew chapter 2 and it happens. And it happens. Just exactly like Isaiah said. Now, for those folks in this world that want to say Jesus was a hoax, there is no way on earth, there is no way on earth that as a little bitty baby, he could have fulfilled all these prophecies and then woke up at about 12 years old and decided, hey, I'm that person, I'm going to start doing all these miraculous things. Nah. It was our salvation that was born on that day, regardless of what anyone says. The young man that I used to work with, who is now gone, that was an atheist, blew him away one day when I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, no. I said, do you want to know about Jesus? Well, he was just a fictitious character. I said, well, have you read the writings of Josephus? He said, who's that? I said, well, he was a historian that wrote about the early times of the Christians and the Roman Empire, and he actually has a very brief account of Jesus in there. By name in there. Really? Well, he didn't go look. He didn't care enough to go look. When Jesus was born, he was real. He was as real as you and me. But he was the gift from the Father. From the days of captivity, the Jews eagerly awaited their Messiah. They did. You can't say they didn't, because if we'll read real carefully the Gospels, almost everywhere he went, people thought he was the Messiah. However, they thought he was their interpretation of the Messiah. Now listen to me carefully, because this comes over to us. To their mind, a Messiah was going to set up an earthly kingdom. He was going to make everything hunky-dory. The Jews were going to reign on high, and God was going to kill everybody but them. Now, that's not true, but they thought they would rule everybody, okay? Hey, when we make up in our minds what Jesus is, we mess it up. We mess it up because the book tells us who Jesus is. The book tells us how... It just tells us everything. All right? When Jesus was born, and through his whole life, we were given the steps to go through. Yet at his birth, there was a misconception of even the ones who did believe that there was going to be a Messiah, and that's the reason why they vacated by droves sometimes. The multitudes disappeared because Jesus was not doing what they had in their own mind he ought to do, or he wasn't doing it in the way that they thought he ought to do it. You know, we would be so condemned with our service by so many people that are, again, like you said in your word, religious. Yet, we are doing within our hearts exactly what we believe God wants us to do here. And the type of worship that we have, hey, brother, you can't find anything in the Word that says it's wrong. You cannot find anything in the Word that says that our type of worship is wrong. We celebrate the birth of Jesus every weekend. But we're now in a season leading up to December 25th, which we all know was not his birthday. It was just a date that was chosen, and we decided, I mean, you could celebrate my birthday on October the 9th. I wouldn't care. It's not when I was born, but I wouldn't care. Golly, just celebrate it. Now, if y'all really want to know the date, look in the thing. I have it so you'll know. They rejoiced at first, then they turned away because he did not meet their expectations. And some of them, and I assume you already know this, but if you don't, here's something that, gosh, you can walk out with. See, I didn't know that. There are some of them still expecting the Messiah today. Some of them still expect the Messiah today. Now, I have no idea what they expect now. I have no idea, because they have not had a word from the Lord for 2,600 years. Wasn't it Malachi? No, 300 years from Malachi to Jesus' birth. 300 years. So that's 2,300 years, 2,400 years that they have not had a word from God. So I don't know what they believe now. But there are some who still believe it. There are some that still look for a Messiah. And it's kind of like me when I go to the grocery store and I look for something and I grab a clerk and I say, "Do you know where the aspirin is?" "Well, yeah, it's right there. Right in front of you." That happens to me a lot. Okay? That happens to me a lot. I don't know. But when Jesus is placed right before us, we have to make a decision on what we're going to do. He came back. He was born in order for us to make a decision about whether his birth was real or not, whether his death was real or not, whether his resurrection was real or not. And it was. I mean, it was. And I'm going to tell you what. What I really, really, really love. Do you know that the entire world, I might want to back off of the entire world, okay? I know that North and South America, I know that Europe and Eastern Europe, and I know that some of, the whole world, okay? In one way or another, whether they mean to or not, are celebrating the birth of Christ. Drive around your neighborhoods. If you think all those people that put all those lights out love the Lord, well, I hope you're right. But I'm going to tell you what, we decorated the fool out of our house when we wouldn't be in church on Christmas Day, one of the 2 days you go normally if you're not a Christian, you know. We wouldn't, but as I was driving around yesterday evening and looking around, man, it just hit me. These people that do not want to put Christ, they want to make it a holiday season, not a Christmas season, they're celebrating the birth of Christ and they don't even know it. Because that's the only reason for this season. Kwanzaa never started, you know, years and years and years ago and spread throughout the world. Any of the other celebrations that are going on at this time, but the entire world, whether they want to admit it or not, are celebrating this season because they will, I mean, even if they don't put lights and stuff up, they give gifts. They'll put a tree up. They'll do something. They will do something that will honor Jesus without them even knowing. And you know what the Word says about that? It don't matter how they do it. It does not matter the reason they do it. Now you got it. The Word says that. It does not matter. You remember when there were some guys with John the Baptist and some of his disciples were worried about the disciples that he was getting, and with Paul and some of the other folks out there preaching the Word, and the bottom line was, it don't matter. It don't matter what's in their heart. Because I'm going to tell you what, God enables some people to talk about Him that has wisdom in what they have to say, and they don't have a clue about it, about what they're talking about. Let me ask you a question. This is my favorite time of the year. Bar none. This is my favorite time of the year. And I have great expectations every year for this season. And I have those expectations because we now do what we do. We are from Thanksgiving to Christmas Day. That's 6 weeks sometimes. That's a long time. That's a long time to celebrate. That's a long time to get yourself ready. That's like the bridesmaids. You know, they only have so much time to get ready and they don't know. I've got time to get ready. I can't start and then get excited as it goes all the way through because I know my Lord, I am going to celebrate His birthday on December the 25th. Obviously, I don't care what day it is, do I? I'm making January. Okay. Am I going to be all holy and pious that day? Absolutely not. I'm going to be playing with my grandkids. They're going to be ripping packages open with toys and stuff in them. We got Alexis a great kitchen. Yeah, I think you saw it, didn't you? Yeah, on the porch. Kitchen. I can't wait till she gets her hands on it. I can't wait till she takes it home and takes all 68 of those pieces and sees what happens to them. But she's going to be excited. I know she is. And I can't wait until the other kids see what they've gotten from each other and from Nana and Grandpa and from their aunts and uncles. Okay? I just can't wait. It's going to build to that point. But I'm going to tell you what. The day will not go without our giving thanks to God Almighty for His Son. It will happen before they rip open the presents. I'll make them sit down and listen to the story out of Luke. I'm going to try to get Elisha to read that this year because he's reading. Blows my mind away. He's in the first grade and he reads better than I did in the third grade. You know, it's just amazing. But we will stop and we will reverence the day for what it is, but we're going to revel in the day also. Because my Savior was born. And God has now given us a whole season. Do you understand that? Unbeknownst to the world, we have a whole season. Not just wake up on the 25th and say, oh, this is Jesus' birthday. No, man, we got stuff strewn everywhere. We got lights on our houses and lights in our houses, and I have a big old Bethlehem village in my house. There's just stuff everywhere. Some of you got two trees. Some of you may have three trees now. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. What do you expect? What do you expect for this season? Let me see if I'm leaving anything out. How do we prepare? Eagerness? That's not eagerness. Can't read what I wrote. Yeah, it is. It's eagerness. Growing sense of awe. Or are we bah humbug? Are we bah humbug? Make somebody's season. Make some clerk's season. Tell them Merry Christmas. You know, look them in the eyeball and tell them Merry Christmas. Look at their name and say Merry Christmas, Alice. Or Merry Christmas, Stan. Or whoever. Man, I like to hear my name. I like it when I go through the gate and whoever's on the gate will look at my ID card and go, hey, chief, how you doing today? You know? I always try to see their name and I'll go, Airman so-and-so. Sometimes I can read it, sometimes I can't. I'll say, you have a great day also. You better bet they appreciate somebody taking the time to look at their name. So how are you going to do it? You're going to do it bah humbug, or you're going to do it getting ready and asking God to get you ready by sharing with everybody all through this season what you have? What do you have? You have the breath of Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Man, you got so much to give these folks around Perry and Warner Robins and Macon. Well, I don't know about Macon. I don't know if they can accept it or not. They don't let me in Macon anymore. All right, last question. What are your particular expectations for this year? Have you lost your joy? Oh, hush up. I know you haven't. Give me a break. Yeah, I did ask, didn't I? Have you lost your anticipation and your love for Christmas that a child has? If you have, get it back. Get it back. Without a doubt, we should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen. People ought to call us crazy. They ought to. I mean, there have been times in my life, and Rick and I were talking about this earlier, there have been times in my life when I look like the most destitute person on the face of the earth. What would I have to rejoice about? But I did. I did rejoice, you know, because I love the Lord at that time. And I was walking in His will at that time. And I rejoiced. And we had friends, relatives actually, of Jeannie's that just couldn't understand why we could be so happy. And why we could be so nonchalant about what's happening in the world and express our love for people around us that we didn't even know. If you've lost your joy, get it back. And if you've lost it so hard that you know you can't get it back, call me. Now, I'm being dead serious now. I want you to call me. And myself and two or three other people will come to your house and we will pray with you. And our prayer will solely be nothing more than the joy of your salvation is restored to you. Mm-hmm. See, I could have hopped around with a little flute and the just girded with the diaper thing. When I got saved, I was so happy. You know, and blowing the flute, and yeah, you don't want to lose that vision. You don't want to lose that vision. So, you guys got too many comments going on among you now, okay? All right, yeah, well, I've got it in my hand. I'm ready to go, Richard.